can see. Hopefully you'll be able to make this out. Over the last several weeks, we have been... I'm going to have to be able to read here eventually, but do what we can. I mean, do them on and off. You don't have to read. Put them on. Over the last several weeks, we've been talking about the basic doctrines from Hebrews chapter 6 and going through each one in order. And it's, I think, very helpful that right now we're going through the topic of the resurrection of the dead. It's not showing up as well as I'd hoped, but resurrection of the dead and judgments, which is the next one, are very, very timely for the Holy Day season, because the resurrections are about the holy days, or I should say the holy days are about the resurrections. They're about God's plan of salvation for mankind. So when we talk about the resurrections, we are talking about the holy days and what they picture in God's plan of salvation for mankind. So we're going to go through today and talk about this, and it's a question that has been since the beginning of time. And Job asks the famous question where he says, if a man die, will he live again? That's what all people want to know. People don't want to just be here and is that all there is? What was that song several years ago where she says, is that all there is? Well, no, there's more to it than just this life, thankfully. In order to understand the resurrections and what God is going to do with mankind, it's first important to understand what the state of mankind is. As you go through history from Adam on through to the time that the last person is either destroyed or changed to spirit being, there are various states that people are in, and we're not talking about states of the United States, but a condition that man is in. Now, as you go through history, first you find that there are righteous people through history. Those who knew God's plan of salvation, who obeyed God, who followed through, and that God said is going to resurrect those individuals. They are the righteous people who had and knew the truth. And there are uncalled people through history. There are people that God placed on earth, and He is going to make them a part of His plan of salvation, but at any given time they were on earth, He didn't call them to understand and to know the truth. There is a difference between Abraham, who responded faithfully to God, and the pagan nations around him. There was a difference between Moses, who responded to God and would be one of the righteous people, and the Israelites, who pretty much rejected God and for the most part did not follow what God had asked them to do. And we're not going to go into all of the scriptures on these things, but basically God said that He blinded their minds too. They couldn't respond from the heart. And then there are the unfaithful people through history. That would be a much smaller amount than the other two, I feel. And that would be those who knew the truth, who God exposed His way of life to them, and they purposely rejected that truth. And they would be called unfaithful people. Now, there's a difference between the uncalled and the unfaithful. The uncalled are in many ways unfaithful, but they haven't known enough to reject God. And we'll get to some scriptures later on, although again, we won't be going through all of the scriptures with this. Now, from the back, you make up that that's a graveyard down at the bottom. Those are gravestones. Anybody can't make that out back there? A little. Okay. All right. Well, anyway, those are gravestones. We're going to talk about the state of man, and we're going to discuss the first 6,000 years of history And then on into the millennium, which the Feast of Tabernacles depicts, and then after the millennium. And in order to understand what happens with man and what God's plan is, we've got to understand the state of man through history. Now, first off, during 6,000 years of history, there have been righteous people who God calls first fruits. Again, that would be those who responded to God. You know, Seth and Noah and Abraham and the prophets. Then on into the New Testament, you've got the disciples, and you've got thousands of people actually that responded to God who were the first fruits through history. And then God says that His church would always be. There would be people who would have and know the truth, bring us up to this present time where some of those who have had and known the truth have died. James 1:18 speaks of these people. It said He brought us forth by the word of truth. The minds were open to know and understand the truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. And so He called a number of people who are called His first fruits. Now, when a righteous person dies and goes down into the grave, so when you see somebody in that bottom part, I'm indicating that those are dead people. Now, again, there are still, when there are dead people in the grave during this time, there are still righteous people up, you know, living right at this point. But let's say that these people now are the righteous first fruits who have died. Now, what is their state? Hebrews chapter 11, verse 13, in speaking of the faithful, it says, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises." So when a righteous person dies, he doesn't go to heaven. He goes to the grave, and they don't receive the promises yet. And so all faithful who have died are dead in the grave, you know, eaten by a lion or whatever, but they're not living. They're dead. Okay. So that's one state, that first one that we talked about, the righteous dead. Now there's another group through 6,000 years of history, and those are the uncalled. So I mentioned those three categories to begin with. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4 says, "The God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine unto them." Well, it says that God has allowed Satan to blind the minds of the world. We can go to a number of other scriptures, and this isn't intended to go through every scripture to back up everything that is said here. We can talk about that with the judgments the next time and or other points. But essentially, for the most part of mankind, they are blinded to the truth. They're not those that know the truth and are the first fruits. And so when an uncalled person dies, they are dead. Romans 10, verse 13 says, "For not knowing about God's righteousness, they did not subject themselves to the righteousness of God." Now, they're not evil people who knew and rejected God. They're those who didn't know about God's righteousness. Thus, He didn't hold them accountable yet. He will hold all people accountable eventually. So there's a group who are dead, who are the righteous dead, who knew and understood the truth, who lived a faithful life, and are now awaiting the resurrection. There is the majority of mankind who didn't know about God's righteousness. God didn't open their minds, and their minds are blinded by Satan, the god of this world, and they didn't subject themselves to God's righteousness. They're dead, and now they're waiting. And we'll get to the resurrections as we go on. Now, within that 6,000-year period also, there are people who knew the truth. And they rebelled against the truth. They had an opportunity to know. Hebrews 10:26, It says, for if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth. Remember, that uncalled dead didn't receive the knowledge of the truth. These people received the knowledge of the truth and they willfully rejected it. It said there no longer remains a sacrifice for sin. So these are people that had a chance, didn't take it. In fact, rejected it willfully. So now these people die, and so buried right now, awaiting a resurrection, are three classes of people: the righteous dead, the uncalled dead, and the unrighteous, rebellious. Now we want to talk about that in perspective and under the concept of the resurrections in a little bit, but let's look at a couple of types of resurrection the Bible talks about. John chapter 5, verse 28, it says, don't marvel at this, for an hour is coming when all who are in the tombs will hear his voice. Now, all of those people who have died, it said, all will hear his voice. So there's a resurrection for every person. Verse 29, and they'll come out, those that have done good, to the resurrection of life, those that have done evil to the resurrection of judgment. Now, as you look at more of the Word of God, you find out that the resurrection of judgment is not just a resurrection to condemnation, but it's a resurrection to be judged. And that can be in the great white throne judgment, or it can be a time for those that knew the truth and rejected it at the time of the third resurrection, and we'll discuss those as we go along. Acts chapter 24, verse 15, it says, there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust. So you'll find people who are going to be justified by God, who will follow His way, who will be turned to spirit being eventually, and there are those who have died rejecting Him, who are the unjust, and they too will be resurrected. Otherwise, there's not a resurrection of the unjust. So there is a resurrection of the unjust also. Now, let's just briefly talk about some resurrections up to Christ's return. When you talk about resurrections, there's a resurrection to physical life, and there is a resurrection to spirit life. There are a number of resurrections in the Bible to a physical life. In other words, somebody died, and then God changed that state of death back into physical life. We're not talking about them being spirit being. So this is a situation of being raised to a physical life. Elijah resurrected a child. A child had died. Elijah didn't resurrect him. God did. So when I say a person resurrected him, God is the only one that can resurrect and bring life again. But this was the servant through which God did so. Elisha also resurrected a child. Remember when Elisha died and was thrown in, and then the guy that Elisha's bones touched was resurrected? Jesus resurrected a child. And again, these are to physical life, where that child, the man that was dead at the time of Elisha, got up and he walked around for a while and lived for, I don't know if it was a year, 2 years, or 15 years, but he lived a physical life. This child that Jesus resurrected, as Elijah and Elisha's children that were resurrected by God, lived out probably their physical lives till they died. He resurrected Lazarus, everybody's familiar with. There was a man at a funeral that everyone was grieving, and Jesus resurrected. That could be kind of cool, wouldn't it? You're there at a funeral, everybody's pretty sad, and all of a sudden Jesus decides to resurrect that person. So they're physically resurrected to physical life. When Jesus died, and the earth quaked, and the sun went dark, and so forth, there were a lot of people that were resurrected at that time. They came up and came wandering back into town, and God made that resurrection. Again, that was a physical resurrection, and those people came back, you know, what a thing to even think about. But again, physical resurrection. Peter resurrected Tabitha, again God did, but Paul resurrected a man that fell over backwards because the minister went too long, or actually it was Paul, and preached too long, and he fell out the window and died, and then he was resurrected. The two witnesses are going to be resurrected. Now that resurrection, it kind of reads funny. I don't know if I'm understanding it at all entirely, but it looks as though they're resurrected to physical life, and then Christ returns, and then they're changed to spirit. But however that works, the two witnesses will be resurrected. Well, of course, there's a resurrection of Jesus Christ. And the Bible's pretty clear that without that resurrection, the others are not possible. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 16 says, if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ hasn't been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then your faith is useless and you're still guilty of your sins. In that case, all who have died believing in Christ are lost. So he's saying here that the only way that we can be resurrected is if Jesus Christ died for our sins, was in that grave, and was resurrected. And Paul is addressing this because, as there are always during all times, there are some strange ideas about the Word of God, and this particular group of people were saying the resurrection is past. There's no future resurrection. So you'll always have times where people will misunderstand the truth of these things. In that case, people were saying the resurrection was past. Paul was addressing that. And then he says in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20, but in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. Now, he was changed when he came up out of that, out of the tomb, was changed to spirit. Although he manifested himself in different ways during that time. He is the first of a great harvest of all who have died. I think that's a very, very important scripture, 1 Corinthians 15, 20. Christ is raised from the dead, and he's the first of a great harvest of all who have died. He's not the first of just a small group of people. He's the first of a great harvest that takes place over a period of time, and God's holy days tell us that. Let's talk about the first resurrection, and of course there were these other previous resurrections to physical life. There was Christ's resurrection, and so he was resurrected first. But we're talking about mankind to the resurrection into the plan of salvation. And so the first resurrection is when Jesus Christ returns to the earth after 6,000 years of history, a time coming up shortly, and the Feast of Trumpets is going to be talking about that. When Christ returns and the dead will be raised. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 23 says, but there is an order to this resurrection. God does things decently in an order. He's got a plan. He says, Christ was raised as the first of the harvest. Then all who belong to Christ will be raised when he comes back. And so it's talking about the righteous dead, those who belong to Christ, those who knew the truth, responded to the truth, and were the faithful. So the righteous dead, the first fruits, are resurrected at the return of Christ and changed into spirit being. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. There are a number of scriptures that are plain on this. Reading from the New Living Translation in verse 13. It says, and now, dear brothers and sisters, we want you to know what will happen to the believers who have died. Right now we're not addressing the rest of them because this is the first fruits. Now again, this isn't everybody or anybody who ever had a chance. We're talking about the first fruits. Now, if there weren't others coming after that, God wouldn't call them the first fruits. He would call them the faithful, the just, the resurrected, everybody else, I'm sorry. But the first fruits, the larger harvest comes later. So this is not a complete resurrection of all people. The Bible's very plain on that. So I don't want you to, we want you to know what will happen to believers who have died so you don't grieve like people who have no hope. Verse 14, for since we believe that Jesus died and was raised to life again, we also believe that when Jesus returns, God will bring back with him all the believers who have died. It's not that they're in heaven because they're dead. Other scriptures show that. But he's talking about when Christ comes, there will be a resurrection. Verse 15, we tell you this directly from the Lord. This isn't speculation. We who are still living when the Lord returns will not meet him ahead of those who have died. Verse 16, for the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a commanding shout, with the voice of the archangel, the trumpet call of God, and the Christians who have died will rise from their graves. They hadn't been residing in heaven somewhere. They had been dead, as we showed earlier. And then they will rise, and then, together with them, we who are still alive and remain on the earth will be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and then we'll be with him forever. And it doesn't say we're going to heaven, it says we'll meet him in the clouds, and then we'll rule with him for 1,000 years. Turn to Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. And verse 4. And I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was given to them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God. It's talking in principle about those who have been faithful. Whether they've been martyred or not is not the point here. It's that they had been faithful to God and lived through faithful to the end. So you don't have to have been martyred to be in this category. Which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark on their foreheads or in their hands. They had not compromised with God's law, as the sermonette talked about. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. And so these first fruits are living with Christ. They're reigning with Christ. And reigning means ruling. It means teaching. They're kings and priests. Over who? Over what? We'll get to that. In verse 5, it says, but the rest of the dead live not again till the 1,000 years are finished. And so on this timeline, we've got the first fruits that are raised at Christ's return, and then after the millennium, there's the rest of the dead that will be raised. And we'll get there. And that should be, and if you do that with your Bible, put a note after verse 5, it says, but the rest, be in parentheses. The rest of the dead live not again till 1,000 years are finished. This is the first resurrection. This is the one when Christ returns. It is the first resurrection of the first fruits. The rest of the harvest comes at a later time. Verse 6, blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection. On such the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15 and Revelation chapter 20 are both called the resurrection chapters because they discuss resurrections and give a timeline in Revelation 20 and an understanding of what it means to be resurrected in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verse 42. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, raised in incorruption. Now, that's speaking of this resurrection, the dead, that a person had been dead, their body had been rotted and molded or into dust or whatever, and that's corruption, and now it is changed to spirit being. Now, that is what is going to happen to all eventually who follow God's way of life, but it's talking now about the resurrection to spirit being. Verse 43, it's sown in dishonor, it's raised in glory, it's sown in weakness and raised in power. Verse 44, it's sown in a natural body and raised a spiritual body. There's a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so we're talking here about a resurrection of the first fruit, dead, changed to a spirit body. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood can't inherit the kingdom of God, neither does corruption inherit incorruption. I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep or remain dead, but will be changed. Verse 52, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. We, he's speaking to the body of Christ that he's addressing. Be a change at the return of Christ, and that's a change to spirit being. Verse 53, for this corruptible must put on incorruption, this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible would have put on incorruption, the mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. And so you find the first fruits were changed to spirit being at the return of Jesus Christ. We want to focus now, we'll put our focus to the millennium and the last great day as we've moved on through history. And again, at the beginning of the millennium, you're still going to find in the graves, dead, turned to dust, or whatever their condition, the uncalled dead. And you're going to find the unrighteous dead. They're still awaiting a resurrection. There's nothing in Scripture that says up to this point that these people who didn't know the truth would be resurrected, or these people who knew the truth would be resurrected. The ones who knew the truth and rejected it. The ones who knew the truth, the first fruits, are now resurrected. They're in the kingdom. Ruling, living, and reigning with Christ for 1,000 years. Revelation 20, verse 6 says, blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection, will be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him for 1,000 years. Now, reign over who? Each other? Well, there's got to be people to reign over. Jesus Christ is ruling over the earth, and who is he ruling over, and who are we sharing with him in that rulership? At the beginning of the millennium, there will be people who had lived through the tribulation, and that's why I've got that started. They were the uncalled living, who were alive at the time of the tribulation, who survived the tribulation, who weren't killed. And there are millions of people still alive at the time that Christ returns. They're the uncalled living who now at the return of Christ, God begins to open their minds. It's a process. And they begin to respond. So I call them the uncalled living who are now called. And you see that the timeline has people living all the way through that 1,000 years. Now, Zechariah 14, verse 16, it says, it shall come to pass that everyone who is left of all nations which came against Jerusalem shall go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and goes on to say, and they'll keep the Feast of Tabernacles. So this is a group of people who were alive during the tribulation, who survived that, and now live on into the millennium and will be taught by the first fruits who are living and reigning with Christ for that 1,000 years. And those people will then live a period of time and have a chance for salvation. And you'll talk probably more about this at whatever respective feast site you're going, but when we talk about a resurrection, I think we ask, what happens to these people when they die? You got a person who is physically alive, who then is taught by you, the first fruits, and they learn God's way, and they respond, and maybe they're 100 years old when they die during the millennium, during that 1,000-year reign of Christ. So what happens when that person dies and he's faithful? Now, I put this in speculation because I can't locate the scripture that tells me exactly what happens when that person dies. If you've got one, I'd like to know. But I'm speculating that when that person dies, they will then be turned to spirit being instead of go back down into the ground to await another mass resurrection. I don't know. It may be that those people, as they die throughout the time of the 1,000 years, will go back into the grave, and then Christ will have another resurrection to spirit being like the first fruits. That's a possibility. Bible doesn't say. My personal speculation is that when they die, that God will then change them to spirit being and they'll join the spirit being family. Now, what happens to people who are called during the millennium, who have a chance to live and know the truth, and then who reject the truth? I think it will be those too. My guess, again, is that those are the new unrighteous dead. That you rejected God's way, you die, and then you're put down into the earth along with the rest of the unrighteous who had lived through 6,000 years and now into the millennium. And so you've got, as time goes on, you've got people living and dying during that 1,000 years, and again, you die, you're raised to spirit being, and now you've got the first fruit spirit beings, and then you've got the new spirit beings ruling and living and reigning with Christ for the rest of the time, unless there's some other resurrection at the end, and we'll just have to see on that. So I hope you noticed the word speculation there. Okay, now what about after the millennium? Because it said, the rest of the dead, Revelation 20, verse 5, did not live again till the 1,000 years were finished. Again, who are the rest of the dead? Well, the Bible has some scriptures on who the rest of the dead are that's referring to here, that Revelation 20 and verse 11, it says, I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it. Now, the last great day, which is the last day of the feast, right after the feast as we go to celebrate, it's called the last great day. It's called the great white throne judgment. So I could have put great white throne judgment, but wasn't enough room on my slide there. So call it the last great day. So I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, and I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God. This happened really quickly. Accidentally touched that. So now you've got, let's go back. I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and the books were opened. And so you've got people who are resurrected and who are standing before God, and books are opened. Now it goes on to say that those books are the book of life and the books which are the books of the Bible. And the indication of that is the books of the Bible are opened to their understanding so that they will have a chance to be judged. They're the people, remember, that didn't know. They didn't obey God because God hadn't allowed their minds to be opened. It says they didn't know and understand the truth. And so these are the uncalled dead were uncalled and they're now called. So they were dead, they were in the grave, they hadn't had a chance for salvation, they're resurrected at the beginning of the last great day, at the great white throne judgment. And now they will live during this period of time as the called who had been dead. Ezekiel chapter 37. Ezekiel chapter 37. This is where the resurrection to physical life comes. Now you notice I don't have them as spirit beings, but they are raised to live on earth to now have a chance for salvation that they previously did not have. Ezekiel 37, verse 1. Here's one of the more famous prophecies. We even have songs about it with them bones, them dry bones. And the hand of the Lord was on me, and he carried me in spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones. And he caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and they were very dry. So he's talking about a large number of people that were dead. Well, there's the first fruits for a small group. It says Christ is the first of the harvest, and then there are many that come along, and these are the many that are beginning to come along. And he said, Son of man, can these bones live? And he answered, Lord, you know they can. And again he said, prophesy to these bones and say, you dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. In verse 5, the Lord said unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. So here are dead people who now, God says, you're going to have breath. Now, he doesn't say, I'm going to make you spirit being. I'm going to make you incorruptible. You were sown in corruption, and now you're made incorruptible. No, he says that I'll put breath in you. It's a resurrection to physical life, much like those people who had gone that we talked about before, the child that was raised to life and Lazarus that was raised to life and so forth. And verse 6, and I'll lay sinews on you, and I'll put flesh on you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. Remember the scriptures in 1 Corinthians 15 says there's a corruptible body, and there is an incorruptible. This is another corruptible body that people will be putting on at this point after the 1,000 years are done. And so these things came about, verse 11. And then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Who are these people? Well, they're dead. They're people who are Israel that had rejected God, but he hadn't opened their minds. He concluded them in unbelief. It wasn't their time to know. And behold, they say, our bones are dried, our hope is lost. We're cut off for our parts. Now we're dead, you know. There's no hope. Verse 12, therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus says the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves, cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. So it's a physical life to a living on earth. And verse 13, and then what happens to their minds? And you shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves. So they were previously the uncalled, who didn't really have a knowledge because their minds have been blinded by God. Now he opens their minds. And what does he add to these people? Verse 14, and shall put my spirit in you, and you shall live. And so he gives them the Holy Spirit to enable them to know and to see the truth. And I shall place you in your own land, then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it. And so this is Israel, but it's typical of all who have lived and not known the truth, that will then be raised to physical life. Isaiah chapter 65. Now you'll hear the last great day, the great white throne judgment being referred to as the 100-year period, 100-year period of time, and whether it's 100 years or not, I don't think we can absolutely show that. But here's the indication why we've called it the 100-year period. Verse 19, "And I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people, and the voice of weeping shall be heard no more in her, nor the voice of crying." Verse 20, "And they shall no more be there an infant of days, nor an old man that has not fulfilled his days, for the child shall die 100 years old." Indicating that when there's a child, that they'll live to be 100. And the old man being a sinner, 100 years old, should be accursed. In verse 21, "And they shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them." So we're talking about a resurrection, the physical life. And again, we'll talk more on that on the last great day of the feast. So now, at the end of that period of time, when they had a chance to be judged, to live and know the truth, they are then changed to spirit being, and they become new spirit beings, more spirit beings. First fruit spirit beings, you got the spirit beings who were changed during the millennium when they were faithful and died, and then you've got more spirit beings now, God increasing his family. Well, we notice still there on the bottom of the screen, you still got the unrighteous dead. What happens to the unrighteous dead? At what point during this time from the millennium on through to the last great day would the unrighteous dead have been resurrected? Would it have been during the millennium that they're resurrected and burned up in the lake of fire? No. Would it have been during the last great day? Or at the time of the beginning of the last great day when all those people who never knew the truth were resurrected, would the unrighteous dead then be resurrected and put in a lake of fire? Now let's look at the scriptures. So we're putting us here at the millennium is done. The great white throne judgment is done. You've got first fruits are spirit beings, the spirit beings from millennium, the spirit beings from the last great day period of time, and so now you still have in the earth the unrighteous dead. Hebrews 10:26, "For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remains no longer a sacrifice for sins, but what remains? A certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation which will devour the adversaries." It talks about a fearful expectation of the judgment. Do those who are those who are the unrighteous dead, do they just remain in the grave and then that's it? And they're burned up at the end of the earth without any knowledge again? The indication is that there's a fearful expectation of judgment, that when their judgment comes, they are cognizant of that judgment that is upon them. They rejected God. Now God is going to make sure that they understand the severity of what they've done. Daniel chapter 12, verse 2 says, "Many of those whose bodies lie dead and buried will rise up, some to everlasting life." And we see at the top of the screen those people in the category who accepted God, they were changed and resurrected to everlasting life. And it said some of those bodies who are dead and buried will rise up to shame and everlasting disgrace. So they do rise up. It doesn't say they stay in the ground. They certainly don't rise up at the beginning of the millennium or during the millennium. And even during the last great day, there will be those who will reject God. And I think still God is testing people during the great white throne judgment of time to see if they will accept him or reject. And I expect you can see people during that great white throne judgment time that that will reject God still and become the unrighteous dead. So what happens to the unrighteous dead, the ones who knew the truth, who rejected that truth? Well, it says they will be raised up to shame and everlasting disgrace. So there's a resurrection for them. So there is a resurrection besides the first, where the first fruits are, and the resurrection to physical life during the great white throne judgment, and then a change to spirit being again. There is a resurrection to shame and everlasting disgrace. So we find the unrighteous who are resurrected sometime after the great white throne judgment, when all people will have had a chance to live and to know the truth. Those that accepted will be changed to spirit being. Those that rejected will be the unrighteous now living again. Revelation 20, verse 14. And then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. In order to die again, you got to be resurrected to life. How can you have a second death if you didn't have a first? Well, you die the first time, and then there's a resurrection to life, albeit for a short period of time now, and then you're going to die again. And so this resurrection of the unrighteous is so that they will have shame, so that they will see what they have experienced and what they've done, and they'll see what they've missed, and God, for whatever reason, decides to do that. Now, you may not understand why God does it. You say, well, that doesn't make sense. Well, you can take that up with God, because he says that's what's going to happen. He wants them to see what they have rejected. There's also a focus here of those who have been changed to spirit being. It's kind of a final witness that you don't fool with God. You don't reject God. And this is what happens to those that do. Anyone not found written in the book of life then was cast into the lake of fire. Now, in order to be cast into the lake of fire, you have to be resurrected to do so. And then you experience a second death. And so the unrighteous are cast into the lake of fire. Now, again, when is the lake of fire? Well, there is some type of fire burning at the beginning of the millennium, because the beast and false prophet are cast to there. But this lake of fire is not just a place on earth. We go on and look at the scriptures. Malachi 4, verse 1 says, "Behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, and all the proud, and yes, all who do wickedly, will be stubble. And the day is coming which shall burn them up," after they've been resurrected again, or for the first time. Verse 3, "And you shall trample the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet." Now, I don't know that this is literally as much as figuratively. The fact that they will have been burned up and we will live on, and they'll be, you know, like you see cities right now who... You go down in the rubble, and you find, you know, like Sodom and Gomorrah. You could probably walk over them today, and they were ashes under the soles of your feet. When you find that you're living and reigning on earth with God, even as a new heaven and new earth, the wicked are burned up. They're in a sense, ashes under the soles of your feet. And again, it's a witness to those who are faithful. You're faithful, God blesses. If you're not faithful to God, if you reject God, then you're destroyed. And God doesn't want any more Lucifers turning into Satan. Turn to 2 Peter chapter 3. And 2 Peter 3 gives this summary of the end and this lake of fire, which is the third resurrection. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7. says, "The end of all things is at hand. Be you therefore sober and watch unto prayer. And above all things have fervent love among yourselves, for love will cover a multitude of sins." Well, I was in 1 Peter. I thought, well, I'm going to get to that in a minute, but I thought it was there quicker. Okay, love will cover a multitude of sins, and you do that, or else this is going to happen. Okay. Now, verse 7 of 2 Peter chapter 3. "Hey, but the heavens and earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men." And so it talks about this time of judgment when the ungodly are burned up. So they're resurrected at the end of the great white throne judgment period of time. And he says, verse 8, "Beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing. A day with the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is a day. And the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering toward us, and not willing that any should perish." You know, his overall plan of salvation is that he wishes that all people would be saved. And he's made contingencies in this process so that he'll call a certain number to begin with, who can be the rulers over others who will be called later, so that they'll have a greater chance of responding to the truth. His desire is that all be saved, and not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And we know that all aren't going to come to repentance, but the indication of Scripture is that most will, because there'll be a great harvest of a resurrection. Verse 10, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with great noise, and the elements melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up." I was talking about in verse 7, there's this fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. And at the end of all these things, once God's plan has taken place, and it says the earth will be burned up. Verse 11, "Seeing then that all these things be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening to the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements will melt with fervent heat." That's this judgment upon all who had rejected God. Verse 13, "Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwells righteousness." And those who have been changed to spirit being will not be destroyed, of course, because they will be spirit. And all who had rejected God will then be burned up and destroyed. Revelation chapter 21, verse 1 says, "And now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God forever and ever."